morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon your church and your hand is upon our nation. We thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign. We thank you that you have a clear message. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will bring something fresh into our spirit this morning. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of familiarity. In the name of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray right now your presence. He's here with us.
Amen.
So him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. So Father, we open our hearts to you this morning. Speak to us, speak clearly to our hearts so that we can put into actions everything that you're putting in our hearts. We're laying hold of your promises and of your word. We thank you that you have a great assignment for the church. And I thank you that the church is going to arrive in this hour. Thank you that every man and woman, every child in Jesus' name, arise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And I want to share with you from the scripture of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the very familiar scripture. I want to read it first. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmful children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." You know, I just want to speak three points, key points this morning that I believe is very important for all of us as we are in this time where God is just doing so many things of. You know, we've been hearing testimonies amongst the nations while I was in GLS, how God is just doing amazing things, and I'm so encouraged every time I go there because the testimonies of nations are just better and better and better. But I realize each time that, you know, God has a plan for us. God has a powerful thing that the church needs to arise and do. And God is calling each and every one of us to rise and just to take all that heaven has, all that God has for us, and run this race. One of the challenges that that we see throughout, you know, everywhere, all around, is not just the fact that we start our race well, but that we finish our race well. And we see, we look at how... We look around us and we look at the world and we look at the things that are happening around us. There are good things that happen, there are also bad things that happen. Right? And in the midst of the bad things, like we read here, in the midst of this crooked, perverse generation, yet, you know, what do we do? You know, what do we do? What is our assignment? What is the church to do? We're going to shine as lights. But regardless of what happens, whether good things or bad things, we've got to realize that we've got to take. How do we make sure that what, you know? Because I believe that, and the scriptures confirms it, that what God starts in us, He will complete it. He's faithful. He will do that word. And so, but as long as you and I choose that pathway, as long as you and I allow God to work in our hearts and fight the good fight of faith, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And so we want to make sure that despite the negative things that happens, and despite the perverse things, the perversity that we see, it looks like when we look at our own nation, we saw the same-sex marriage come in, and so we thought that it's gloom, and we you know, and it is not a good thing for such a decision as this to be made in Australia, of course. But in the midst of that, do we allow those things? You know, what I'm saying to you today is that many things are going to happen, but we can stand strong and finish the race well. Yeah. And the finish line, the things that are coming, is greater than what we have seen thus far. So I just want to say this. I want to talk about Philippians here this morning, and as I do this, I just want to have this sense that God is really doing something. And one of the key messages that we hear, we've been hearing over the years for Australia, is families and values. Families and values. And I'll throw this out there for all of you who may or may not have heard about the Australian Conservatives, a political party who's trying to preserve the conservative values, all right, the Judeo-Christian values. What I'm trying to say here is this party, one of the focus is really trying to bring back into the nation values and family values. Are those kind of values that brought the nation together and what brought Australia to be the country it is. So because of that, there's this strong message that we need strong families, and strong families will build a strong church. Yeah. And so we need to instill this value. And so remember that when we come together in the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, we're coming to Him as a family. Yeah. All right? And many families are making up this big family. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so God has many things. And if I may even say this, in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 talks that the nations would turn to the obedience of the faith. And we are, we believe that God is moving in Australia. Amen? Yeah. And that we will see Australia turn to the obedience of the faith.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like impossible. It looks like so difficult. It looks like, oh no, it's too many things happening. People don't want God. People don't believe in God. Don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear about the gospel. So it looks that way. But the thing is, when things are impossible, we realize that we look to a God who is sovereign. And when these things happen, we will know that it is not the work of flesh, but it is the work of God.
Amen.
And so we're believing. We're believing, and there's many things that's going to take place. But we and I, if we can keep it in our minds, okay, the things that God has for this nation, we can rise together as a church. We can rise together as a church and work with God so that these things can happen. But as we talk about the plans of God, the purposes of God, it starts with us first. It starts with the church first. Those values, those things that God is challenging us with. And you see, we always know that God, the judgment of God begins in the house of God first. And so let me read one more time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. And I want to go along those lines, and I just want to declare three key point sentences that are very important for us. Okay, especially when you couple that, when you bring that together with Romans chapter 12, which we have been emphasizing in the last few months, we've been talking about, we've been hearing about it. We're talking about surrendering, yielding our lives completely to God. But let me read that scripture one more time. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." How many of you and I want to be part of this world and be lights in the world?
Yes,
we want to be lights in this world, don't we? Alright, so the first thing that I want to talk about is the first point is that we must not just obey when we are in front of our authority or when we are in front of our parents, father and mother, you know, in your family. Don't just obey when we are in church in front of our pastors. You know, don't just obey when there's an authority watching us. Because beyond this authority, there's the authority of God. Mm. Amen. So when no one is looking, this authority of God is upon us. Alright, so whether we talk about there's God is the top. God is the one who is in charge. He's sovereign. He's the authority above all. Alright? So God sets authority over me, but above this over me authority that God says, there's one who is above all. Is above all of all, right? So there's this authority that we must yield ourselves to. So we don't just obey. That's why Paul is saying, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not is my presence only. So they obey when Paul is present, and the authority that God has set over their lives. But he says, much more now in my absence, work it out with salvation, with fear, your salvation with fear and trembling. Speaks of the fear of the Lord. So I need to understand this obedience that God is looking for. It is not an obedience that is to please certain group of people that are over me. Right? Though they might be saying, telling us to do the right thing, but it's not to live as men pleasers. But we got to know that it's from God, and that this obedience, this kind of obedience is what God is looking for. So God wants complete obedience. Everybody say complete obedience. Yieldedness. God wants us to be completely surrendered to Him. Alright, everybody, surrender to Him. And that's why I said this morning, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Romans 12. And I believe it ties in very well to what we've already been hearing. God, this is what God really wants out of our lives. He wants complete, say it one more time, complete obedience. Surrendered life. A yieldedness.
Obedience.
Amen. Alright, so the key thing here is obedience. Obey God. Obey what God is saying. Let the Word speak to us, and let that obedience work in us. We've been talking about this, because this obedience is a submitted obedience. You know, oftentimes we can do a lot of things because we just obey. We don't wanna have any conflicts. We just wanna obey for the sake of doing things. But let God work out those things in our own hearts. You know, don't let things that you don't have, that things in your heart that you just obey, and you might as well just obey because I'm told to. And we keep those things in our hearts, and this begins to build up. Just watch out for those things.
Yeah.
Is that true? Watch out for those things.
Yeah.
Clear our hearts.
Yeah.
I obey because I want to obey. Remember, it is God who works in me to do and to will. So I must. It's a willing. It's not something that's forced. It's not something that's obligated. It's not something that's pushed around, but it's a yieldedness and an obedience that comes from the heart. A faith obedience. Amen? Everybody say it one more time. Complete obedience. Yieldedness. Amen. The second point I want to speak this morning is, when the Word comes to us, it must work deeply in our hearts until it becomes a pattern in us. The work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Word and of the Holy Spirit must have a deep work in my own heart until it becomes a pattern in us, until it takes shape, until it becomes something that becomes more and more tangible and can be seen in my life. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I should say probably chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. I'm just going to read the scripture. It says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. To God who is able. Everybody say, God who is able.
God is able.
God is able.
God is able.
God works in us. He works in us. To do what? To do His will and His good pleasure. To will His will and to do His will. So something must happen when we receive the Word of God, that the Word of God must work deeply in the inside of me. I need to work out what God is working in the inside of me. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks, that, you know, that we must return to do the first works. And the first works was not to do more works. It wasn't to do more ministry. It wasn't to do more church things. It wasn't to do more church work. But it was to go back to Him and worship Him from the heart. Is that right? Yeah. So he must work deeply. There's a great work that needs to happen in our hearts. That means before I go out, before I do so many things that keeps me busy, and sometimes it's those very things that keeps us away from God. What do? It's this work that I'm talking about. This works deeply in the inside of me. The work in me is more important than the work through me.
Yeah.
All right? It's a good statement if you want to write this down. But the work inside of me is more important first than the work through me. Because if I can get the work in me done first, then the work through me will be good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we focus on the work that God is doing through us, and we forget about many things. Yeah. Then we start to, what happens is we start to depend on the flesh. All right? We heard from the conference, one of the greatest deceptions, there's a deception is just going to, in the years to come, there will be great deception in many things. But you and I will be secured, amen?
Yeah.
Because we're founded on Christ. We will not be deceived because we'll be protected. We'll be undercovering. We'll be yielded to Christ. We'll be abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, filled by the Spirit. And so we're believing that we will not be affected if you and I stay and build on the rock. Amen? But the greatest, one of the greatest deception that we're going to be very careful is, you know, when we start out as Christian, you know, we depend on God, we pray, we love God. And as we grow old, and I can see that, I can say that for the same thing, I can see that pattern in my life. Whereas when the more we grow, and the more we start to do more things, you know, we start to worship lead a bit more, we start to, you know, run the cell groups every week in, week out, and so it becomes a routine, doesn't it? Right? Those things becomes a pattern, becomes a routine. And so more and as time goes by, what we tend to do is that we don't rely on God as much because of all the work that I've done in the past. It's like, I can do this. So I enter into what I'm doing for God with my own effort, with my own strength. I can do this. You know, I'm used to, I'm very familiar with the songs. I just know which songs to choose and turn here and there. We can do all kinds of things. All right? I'm just sharing you from my side how it looks like. Your side, it might look something different. But what I'm saying is, we without realizing it, we rely on the flesh rather than relying on God.
Yeah.
So we just got to watch out for that, because we just need to go back to God. God must work deep in our hearts. The way God starts with us is the same way God will end, finish with us. That means the way He starts to work in us, and when He completes the work, is the same. In the days that we're doing a little bit less, like, you know, maybe it's not high visibility, it doesn't look like it has impact, and we're crying to God and see we see breakthrough, is this pattern of depending on God is going to be just as much as when, great things are happening.
Yeah.
So we cannot say that we need God when we need God, when we are in situations where we are in desperations, but even in the times where blessing comes.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen. It's the same thing. The way God starts is the same way God's going to end. And obviously, we've been reading the soap, and we see how the people turn away from God once they're blessed. Especially, you see that in the book of Judges when we get to that book. You know, they start to do things that are good in their own eyes. Because, trusting their flesh, they trust in themselves, and all kinds of things. Blessings of God comes, and so we forget. Alright, the last point that I want to share with you this morning. So let's verbalize the first and the second one, and then we'll verbalize the third one. So the number one was, don't just obey. Everybody, maybe say it with me. Don't just obey when you're in front of your parents or your spiritual parents in the house. Alright, I'm talking about the spiritual house, I'm talking about the family house as well, alright? Or any form of authority, because there's one who is above all authority. Number two, God must work deep in our hearts. The Word, the Spirit must work deep in our hearts until it becomes a pattern in us. It means we've got to labor with the Word. We've got to work with the Word. One of the challenges that challenges me is every word that I know God has been speaking over the years, take it, labor with it, hold on to it, pray it, believe it, and work it out. Don't be sidetracked, but stay with what we know God is speaking. What is God speaking to this house? We've been hearing. And so what we hear, we've got to lay hold of that. The last one is, we need to do and to will His good pleasures. We need to do and to will His good pleasure. That's why we talk about Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 talks about a surrendered life, that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace. We can present ourselves to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. By what? By His blood. By His broken body. We can come boldly. The veil of His flesh is torn. Torn the veil of His, you know, He has made an entrance. By the same Spirit we have access to the Father. By a new and a living way, we can enter before Him as a living sacrifice. Which means what? Dead to self, alive to God. Dead to self, alive to God. Do not be conformed according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This surrendered and yieldedness is something that allows God to work it inside of me, so much so that self is dead, so that the only thing that's inside of me is the will of God. The will of God. The will of God. You know, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. I delight in God so much until God works in me, until everything that I want in the inside of me is what He wants. So let this be one of our prayer. What's going to be the greatest proof that God is with us? Is when we have this pattern in the inside of us. These 3 points. We obey because we know there's a God that's watching over us. Alright? That the Word is working deep inside of our hearts. The Word. The Word is working powerfully in the inside of us to do and to will His good pleasure. But this is a work, not a work of man. It is a work of God. So what you and I can do to ensure that this happens is that we agree with God. We be like Mary and say, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. You see, it wasn't just the word that came, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And when the word came, she said, Lord. Everybody say, Lord.
Lord.
Let it be done to me.
Let it be done to me.
According to your word.
According to your word.
Let it be done to me.
Let it be done to me.
According to your word.
According to your word.
So we really need to ask. Not just the word, the spirit of the word, but the word of the word, but we need the spirit of the word.
Amen.
God will give us the will, and also with great grace will grace us to carry out His will.
Thank you, Lord.
So God is wanting something from us. Is that we keep our devotion pure before Him. Our devotion is, that's why we talk about Romans 12, and we just come before Him, and it's just not a formula that we present ourselves, it's not just a tick box that we do, but we really come in a place of where, you know, we just come before God and just say, Lord, here am I before You. Here am I, use me, O God. Here am I. I surrender my mind. I surrender my. I give to You. I yield my eyes, my thoughts, my nose, my mouth, my hands, my feet, my entire body. My entire body. The Word of God needs to find. The seed must find a body. The seed. There's a seed that God puts in us, and this is why we need to present this body, because it's this body that's going to do the will of God. Is that true? I'm talking about each and every one of us personally. We have a body. It's alive. We need the resurrection life. Why? Because the seed that God puts in the inside of us needs to find a body to do His will. Just like Jesus. You know, sacrifice and offering, you didn't want. But a body, are you following me? This is in Hebrews chapter 10. But a body you have prepared for me to do what? To do your will. And so a body has been prepared to do the will of God. In the same way, Jesus died on the cross, then rose from the dead. Remember that? Okay, let's do the whole story again. So Jesus came on the earth, is that right? Yeah. The Word became flesh, right? Then He walked among men. Then His own did not receive Him, rejected Him. Is that right? So the people rejected Him, His own people rejected Him, then they nailed Him to the cross. But He came for this very reason, to stop the works of darkness, to defeat the enemy, and to disarm the principalities. And so by dying on the cross, He became sin for us. He took the judgment upon Himself, alright? He became the sacrifice, and He died. Then 3 days and three nights, He went down to take the keys of death and Hades, conquered death, relocated the paradise of man to be with God. And so He did that, and He rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that works in us is the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. What happened? He rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, alright, cleansed the heaven, cleansed us, the blood of Jesus cleanses all things. And He appears to His disciples, He talks about them, about the kingdom for 40 days and 40 nights. Then what happens after that? He officially ascends, and they look Him and as He goes. And then He says, you wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, what happens? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon the church. What happens? The church was born. And the church is what? The body of Christ. And this body is going to do the will of God. It says, sit in my right hand till I make all your enemies a footstool. Is that right? And so we are the feet, the body. We are the feet generation because this is the last lap. We're living in the last days and the things are happening. And so what I wanna share this morning with you is very simple. It's very simple yet very essential. And it's very simple. We have heard it many times, but if we can understand that, I think we can really allow God to do something. We will realize something, that my body is to do His will. Not just His physical body, but the body of Christ is to do His will. Then where is the body of Christ in the midst of this world? When everything is falling apart, who is going to be providing this change? Who is going to go and provide an alternative? Is that right? Who is going to do that? Yes, God has chosen His church. God has chosen His church. Let me just read one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Or 3, sorry, verse 10. But it is very difficult to understand this, or it is very difficult to understand this whole concept that God wants us to move on His behalf. It's very difficult sometimes to understand because of our circumstances, because of what we face. But when we read scriptures like this, look at that. In verse 10, it says what? Maybe let's read the context. Let's read from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, talking about Paul, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. It's this mystery that needs to be unfolded, right? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which is accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, there's an eternal purpose that the church had, that God has for the church. There's an eternal purpose. That purpose sometimes is very difficult for us to understand. That's the reason why. Unless the Word and the Spirit works in me. Unless I yield. Unless God works in me to do and to will what He wills. No matter how much we read the scriptures, doesn't mean very much. Because we're stuck in such a place where, you know, I've got to take care of my own problems, which is true, got to take care of our own problems. But we fail to see that God has a big plan. And that as long as we yield, it's not the work of our flesh that's going to make it happen. But it's God who is working. And we've got to believe that. So that we don't depend on self, we don't depend on flesh, but we depend on God. Finally, I want to leave you with this thought. We talk about the Word working in me. We talk about the 3 points. Remember the 3 points? The first one is, I must obey, right? Not just in the presence of those who are looking after me, but know that there's a God who is above all. That authority I must always be under. And obviously, being under the authority that God has ordained for us. But ultimately, there's one who is above all. And then we talked about, number two, that the Word must work deeply inside of me until there's a pattern, until it takes shape to do what? To do His will, to do and to will His will. These were the 3 points that we mentioned this morning. And we talked about the body. Alright? So far what we see and what we understand is the kingdom of God, we understand it as a spiritual kingdom. We pray in the Spirit, we prophesy, we declare, we do all these things. But all these things must outwork in self. Because when Jesus comes, when Jesus returns back, after that there will be what we call a millennium kingdom. Say a millennium kingdom. A millennium talks about 1,000 years. It's 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ here on the earth. And that reign is not a spiritual reign. It's not a spiritual kingdom. It's a physical kingdom. Okay? So what I'm trying to say here is that what God is speaking to us in the Spirit. Remember, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. It's spiritual, isn't it? God speaks to my spirit. I can't quite see it. It's abstract in that sense to us at this point. It's spiritual. I pray in the Spirit. I take things from the Spirit. I touch God in worship. It's in the Spirit. He who worship God must spirit him is worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. All of these are spiritual dimensions that we can touch. Prayer, prophecy, prayer, worship, the Word, and all these things. These are spiritual things we can touch. But these spiritual things must find its translation. This spiritual kingdom will manifest into this physical kingdom. Which is why this body here on earth is stationed here on earth to do God's will. And I pray that, the more we hear about what God is doing in Australia, how God will begin to stir our hearts so that we can be a voice in our own land. And begin to be part and parcel of what God is doing, rather than expecting God to do it for us. I mean, God's going to do it, but yet, even though God's going to do it, He wants you and I to be part of it. Yet we don't take the glory, yet He gets all the glory. But yet He still wants us to co-labor with Him. I mean, what a thought. He doesn't really need us, but yet He wants us to be His vehicle. A channel of blessing. Amen. So what I'm saying here is that yes, there's a great work ahead because we're going to touch the physical aspect of what God is doing. But first and more foremost, there's going to be something that everything that we capture in the Spirit, maybe today, maybe next Wednesday, maybe next week, maybe in the weeks to come, or cell group or prayer meeting, when the Word of God comes to us, let the Word find work in the inside of us until something begins to manifest. It begins to manifest in my life. It begins to manifest in my ways, in how I walk, in how I speak, in how I think. Let's pray to God that this is what God is really going to do. Amen. Because the world out there is looking for an answer.
Amen.
The world out there is not just looking for something they can't see. Yep. They want something they can see. They want to see something tangible.
Yes.
And we can bring the answer, because though we cannot see the answer, though it's in the Spirit, but we can bring it down to earth. Yes. That's why Jesus said, taught His disciples how to say, He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Something that's in heaven, something we cannot quite see, comprehend, and touch, it's in the Spirit, but yet He says, pray this, that this will come down here on this earth.
Amen.
And God has chosen the church, God has chosen you and I, people, simple people like you and I, human beings, to bring it through down.
Amen.
But first, let that Word find work inside of us.
Yes,
anything that God's going to do in our nation, God first is going to do it through us and in us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
we expect God to do something out in the world. It first, the first breakthrough is going to take place here in our own midst.
Yeah.
All right? So may our families be healed.
Amen.
Yes. May our families be strong.
Yes.
May the values of the principle of the scriptures be in our hearts,
yes,
and in our lives.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. Let there be divine, let there be healing and restoration,
yes,
of families in,
yes,
the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the,
yes,
hearts of the children, and the,
yes,
children will be turned to the fathers in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I thank you, yes, you're raising up, oh God, fatherly,
yes,
figures in our midst,
yes,
in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Healing relationships,
yes,
in Jesus',
yes,
name.
Yes.
You're restoring covenant in,
yes,
our midst, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Loyalty,
yes,
commitment,
Lord,
commitment,
Lord,
truthfulness,
yes, Lord,
honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Respect.
Yes.
Value,
yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
God. That you're doing a mighty work in our,
yes,
midst. You're doing a mighty work in,
yes,
this church.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that you're stirring in our hearts this,
yes,
morning. Though it is a very simple message, but yet you're burning strong in inside,
yes,
of us, knowing that there's something inside,
yes,
knowing that there's a job,
yes,
knowing that,
Father,
I cannot stay still until something happens.
Yes.
We're going to make something happen. We're going to touch,
yes,
God. We're going to cry out,
yeah,
to God and,
yes,
get the,
yes,
answers,
Lord,
because there are so many people around us that,
yes,
are hurting.
Lord.
There are so many things that are going wrong, that are not right. We thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful,
yes,
and that you're looking to and fro for those whose heart will be loyal to you.
Yes.
I thank you that this morning, people are we are responding to,
yes,
you this morning.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you're working deeply in our hearts.
Yes.
Hallelujah, that will clear everything in our hearts.
Yes.
Every root of bitterness and unforgiveness will be completely healed,
yes,
this morning in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because we're going to see, we're expecting to see greater healing,
yes,
and greater forgiveness,
yes,
and healing outside of the walls of the church. We thank you, God, for your plans and your purposes. We thank you for your goodness.
Yes.
We thank you for your mercy, O God.
Yes.
So I say and I speak in the name of Jesus,
yes,
may your people rise in,
yes,
Jesus' name. May your people rise,
yes,
may you rise,
yes,
filled with the word and filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
May we be filled with the Spirit of truth,
amen,
with the Spirit of life,
yes,
with the Spirit of grace,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, right,
amen,
now.
Amen.
Oh God,
yes,
pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. Pour out your Spirit upon us this,
yes,
morning.
Yes.
Do a mighty work in,
yes,
us. In Jesus' name, may our lives never be the same. May our lives never be the same. Oh God, we surrender our lives as a living sacrifice. Let it be holy and acceptable before you as we approach you through Jesus' blood and his broken body. We thank you that through by a new and a living way, we enter boldly before your throne room of grace. We thank you, we can cry out to you. We thank you that you're a God of mercy and you're looking upon us. You are still in control. You are still in control. You are still in control. Hallelujah. In every situation, maybe there's some of us here this morning, you know, we're looking at our situations. We're looking about how can the whole nations of a shared family be healed when my own family needs major healing. Let faith rise in our heart this morning. It is possible.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Let our families,
yes,
be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let our families be saved in Jesus',
yes,
name.
Amen.
Let there be divine encounters in,
yes,
Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Set value, oh God, in the name of,
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord,
Amen,
that you're touching our eyes this morning,
yes,
so that we will see differently.
Amen.
The perception of our eyes will begin to see things in your perspective.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, put in our hearts that when we see it is impossible, we will know that you are the God of the impossible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can turn,
yeah,
things around. You're the God of the turnaround.
Amen.
You're the God of the turnaround.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. God will give us success.
Amen.
God will give us success.
Yes.
And we, your servants, will begin to rise,
yes,
and build,
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Shall we pray in the Spirit this morning just for a moment?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord. And I finish on this. You know, the world is looking for answers, as we know. And the world does not have the answer, but God has the answer. Is that right? God alone has the answer.
Amen.
You know, and we should treasure every Bible study. We should treasure every message we hear from God. We should treasure every time of worship, every time we can get to read, we can receive the word, we hear His voice. We need to treasure that. But above that, what we hear and what we learn, if it does not become something that people can hold and see the reality of it, people don't want it.
Yes.
No matter how great we can say God is great, but if the people can't see that God is great, they don't want it.
Yep.
If we say to the people who are decaying and who have family problems, if you just talk to them and you just say God can do this, God can do that, but if nothing is happening, they won't believe us.
Yeah.
But we have the answer.
Yes.
God has the answer. That means what I'm trying to say is that God is going to give us the grace. We got to believe that God is going to give us the grace to make what we hear a pattern.
Amen.
So that when we say we have the answer, people can see the answer. They can see it in our lives. They can see it in our families. They can see it in our church. You know, they can see, wow, God is doing this. They can see, not just hear about it, but they can experience it. May it be supernaturally miraculous, or maybe something that they can see with their eyes, but they can begin to feel that what God is saying is not just some spiritual things, but it's real.
Yeah, man.
And I think that's what, if anything, this message this morning is, this is what, why we need to let God to work in us, so that it becomes a pattern, so that it becomes real in us.
Yes.
Because this dying, crooked, perverse generation that are struggling, that are bound, they don't have the answer, they are in depression, they are part of broken families and all kinds of things, they're fighting, they have bitterness, they are in drugs, they are in all kinds of things. If we just tell them something spiritual that can't help them, it doesn't help them. But if we can take the word and model it, and how God has transformed our own life first. That's why I'm praying for my own life, that God is gracing us this morning for that kind of life. Not just something we hear, but something that has the power to transform our lives.
Amen.
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 And the Word of God has the power to transform our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So I pray this morning that God, we will lay hold of the Word. We'll lay hold of what God has been speaking to our hearts.
Yes.
Don't delay it. Don't delay it.
Yes,
don't wait for
Lord,
something
Lord,
to happen.
Lord.
Take the word, work with it as soon as you can. When God convicts us of something, you know, work on it now. Sometimes say, oh, tomorrow, too tired. No, immediately. Say, everybody say, immediately.
Immediately.
When God speaks to us, immediately. Don't delay it. And do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't delay. Don't look for another year. Don't wait for 6 months. Don't wait time to fly and time to wait for it to... I mean, you know, but deal with it in your own heart. You've got to know in your own heart that you are true to God, that everything is clear in your heart, in our minds, everything. Just when God works, let's come to a place where we can say, Lord, let it be done to me.
Amen.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.